This is Supply Chain Innovators, the show that helps supply chain leaders get ahead of the curve and prepare the organizations for the rapid trends that lie ahead. I'm your host, Taylor Camarena. Let's jump in. Hello, today I'm speaking with Matthew Haber, the CEO and co-founder of Cofactor. Now, Cofactor is a logistics and supply chain tech company that provides scalable warehousing and procurement for electronics manufacturers. Thank you so much, Matthew, for hopping on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. I've been following along on your media announcements the past couple of weeks, so I know you have a lot going on. But before we jump in, can you bring us up to speed on how your journey led you here as the CEO and co-founder of Cofactor?
Yeah. So my co-founder, Phil, and I had worked together for a decade, previously ran an engineering services and research and development firm, worked initially kind of mostly in the entertainment industry, building technology for things like themed entertainment and rock tours, and then kind of had a meandering journey, ultimately spent a couple years working on self-driving cars with a company called Zoox, and product development, medical device development, all sorts of things along the way. Sold that company to a private equity firm a few years ago. And coming out of that experience, we really had sort of identified a set of pain points around how products get made that we had experienced ourselves as engineers trying to build products and bring them to market, and also being in the room that really giant tech companies, helping them go through that process and seeing the struggles really at every scale. And so we had this perspective that it's so much easier to scale a software product than it is a hardware product, and that fundamentally doesn't actually have to be that way. And we think that there's a suite of solutions, which Cofactor is one of, that will over time holistically add up to an ecosystem for building hardware that is similar to what we already have for building software, where people are able to take products from idea to scale much more quickly and efficiently than they can today. So Cofactor came really out of that mission.
Wow, very interesting. Well, first, congratulations on getting acquired.
Thank you.
And second, it's always fun when you get to hear a founder's, you know, story that goes full circle.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't like a straight line, but it was all sort of informative in getting us to where we got to, for sure.
So you mentioned your co-founder started from the very beginning.
Yeah, we've spent like basically a full decade now together, like almost every day working together. So started the previous company together, ran it, sold it, worked together for the company that bought us, left to start Cofactor together. So it's been a pretty sort of unusual and really productive and rewarding partnership for a long time now.
That's awesome. So let's hop into Cofactor.
Yeah. So like you said in the intro, we provide what we call cloud pre-factory logistics and procurement, primarily for electronics manufacturers. So these are companies that are building electronic devices. And when we say electronic devices, of course, we mean everything from cars to rocket ships to medical devices to things that we might typically think of as electronic devices, like a cell phone or a television, right? And so we work with the companies that design those products and bring them to market, which we call an OEM, as well as the companies that actually do the work of manufacturing them. So contract manufacturers and manufacturing service providers. And we provide these teams essentially outsourced infrastructure to let them manage their inventory, manage their procurement operations, manage the flow of materials from the suppliers to their production lines, but do it in a elastic software orchestrated manner versus doing it sort of the traditional way of hiring lots of people and giving them lots of spreadsheets and lots of, you know, dirty warehouses to do this in, right? So I think a really good analog to think about coming from the software world is it used to be that if you wanted to scale a software product, you would have to get a bunch of racks and buy a bunch of servers and put those servers in the racks. And then maybe there'd be a co-location center where you could sort of put some of them somewhere else. And then every time you get a bunch more users, you'd have to go out and get a bunch more servers and put them in a bunch more racks and put them in more places and do this globally. And that required huge teams to manage and huge capital expenditures to build all this infrastructure, right? And that made the barrier to scaling a software product a lot higher than it is today. Of course, now we have cloud computing, right? So we have Amazon Web Services, we have Google Cloud. And those companies are doing all that for us, right? There's still physical servers somewhere. You can't actually host software without those physical servers. So we haven't solved that problem magically. But someone else is doing all that work, dealing with the sort of capital implications of that, dealing with the global compliance footprint of that, and abstracting it all behind a really easy to use software layer that lets engineers focus on engineering and, you know, DevOps people focus on DevOps and whatever else it is that they're doing on the software side. So we provide a really similar service for all of the sort of logistics and procurement that happens before the factory for hardware teams, so that we're providing all that infrastructure for them and we're doing it in a very tightly coupled software controlled way so that they can just focus on their product and what they need to have happen. And we're going to have it happen in the real world for them.
Awesome. How about customers? So who's your ideal customer and do you see this expanding beyond them?
Yeah. So we tend to focus right now on companies that are on the sort of OEM side, typically high growth hardware startups, usually in what we'd sort of call higher compliance industries. So we have a fair number of customers building medical devices, building rocket ships, satellites, robots, things like that. We tend to serve companies that manufacture or work with manufacturers that are in North America. So when you look at a supply chain that's maybe, if you think of like a Foxconn factory, like the iPhone is made in, that can start to have a different set of challenges, perhaps someday that we will expand to serve that exact use case. But right now we tend to focus on companies that are building really complicated products that have sort of expensive, difficult to manage supply chains. And that for them, they'd really much rather focus on what their core competency is, whether that's designing a rocket ship or figuring out the medical device or even figuring out how to actually assemble it, but not necessarily how you source all those parts and manage all those materials. So that tends to be who we're serving. Certainly over time, we'll continue to expand to bigger companies and companies with sort of more divergent needs. I think the solution we provide absolutely is pretty universally applicable across almost every area of manufacturing. And in the long run, probably not just electronic manufacturing, but other kinds of manufacturing as well. But right now, electronics alone is a $700 billion industry. And even in the US, this kind of like higher compliance vertical is like about $250 billion. So there's a lot of work to be done right now, just in this sort of one little niche. And we're going to probably focus on that for a while before we look to expand beyond that.
Lots of room to expand. That is very exciting.
For sure.
So as for an example, can you walk us through an example of how a company would go about using cofactor from their specific problem to onboarding, et cetera?
Yeah. So typically when we start working with companies, they're in a phase where they've designed a hardware product. They probably prototyped it. They probably raised a bunch of money to bring it to market. And they're kind of what we like to say is like looking down the barrel of having to scale this, right? So they've realized actually, you know what, having designed this product is really only like a little piece of the work. And we now have to make a lot more of these. We have to make them reliably. And that's actually a whole other set of challenges. And maybe they don't actually want to go off and hire dozens of people. That can be really hard to recruit, especially in current labor markets, and figure out how to like build that infrastructure, buy warehouses, buy all the equipment for those warehouses. So they'll often have this sort of set of pain points around, I know my supply chain needs to scale, but I don't necessarily feel like it's my core competency or want it to be my core competency to figure out how to do that. I want to focus on where I'm actually adding value. So, you know, our unique engineering chops or whatever. And so usually they're coming to us at that phase, and then they're working with the cofactor product sort of there on out. And onboarding is really quite simple. Part of the nice thing about our product is it isn't hard to use. It really abstracts away all the hard parts for you, and it's pretty smart. So customers are typically entering bills of materials. So basically just spreadsheets of all the parts that go into their product. They're managing that with whatever tools they're already using for engineering, but sending that data into the cofactor platform. And then their requirements data, so how many they're making. So they're going to put in essentially a list of the hundreds of parts that go into their finished widget, whatever it is they're making. And then they're saying, hey, I need to make, you know, 1,000 of these next month and 10,000 of these next quarter and 100,000 of these next quarter after that. And then what our system is doing is going off, it's looking at real-time supply chain data on hundreds of millions of unique parts across hundreds of global suppliers. It's figuring out all of the sort of supply chain engineering considerations, so tariffs and shipping costs and figuring out landed cost calculations, all this. It's optimizing all that procurement for them. It's doing that work for them. And then rather than those materials going, let's say, to their office in Silicon Valley, where they're going to be potentially mishandled, not let's say tracked properly, they're going to our secure warehouse or our secure logistics facility, where we're providing additional quality control checks and various additional services, so that by the time production rolls around, all the customer has to do is click a button and say, okay, I'm ready to actually make my product now. And all the parts are going to show right up at their manufacturer on the right day, and they're all going to be ready to go on the machines. And then it's basically just that, but over and over again, right? So that's actually kind of the core experience that a customer has. In practice, of course, we have all sorts of layers of additional tools. There's analytics on top of that. There's risk management products on top of that. There's insurance products around ensuring that if counterfeit or illegitimate materials end up in their supply chain, they're financially protected against that. So there's all sorts of additional value we provide sort of within that core experience in order that the whole overall arc is just super low risk, super secure, super low effort for the customer. But that's kind of the main journey that customers are going on.
So is this a one-stop shop? So does it kind of get rid of all the spreadsheets that they're working with, or is this an addition to so everything flows better?
Yeah, it's pretty one-stop shop if customers want it to be. Certainly, there's some spectrum, right? So, and we really try to meet customers where they are. So if they come to us, they're already using an enterprise resource planning tool. They're already maybe using a product lifecycle management product on the engineering side. We're happy to integrate with those. Integrations can be, you know, very literal, like API-based integrations. In many cases, it's more just like they're going to export spreadsheets from their existing legacy system and push them over into our system. That's, you know, for better or worse, that's often the reality. But we're happy to kind of slot into whatever tools they have. But we also provide kind of a core foundation of those tools within our product so that if you are, let's say, a startup that maybe hasn't adopted those tools yet and maybe doesn't want to adopt those tools, you have an option, at least for a while, to avoid having to adopt them, be able to sort of meet your core requirements within our product. So we try to really get rid of as many spreadsheets as possible. Other than that kind of bill of materials, usually that's going to be a spreadsheet, which actually isn't a bad way to have that. So that's one of the few places where a spreadsheet maybe isn't the wrong choice. But beyond that, we try to be pretty comprehensive about how we provide our solution.
Nice. So how about competitors?
Yeah. You know, every company has competitors in the form of like, you're replacing something, right?
Yeah.
So there are definitely companies that provide services around some of what we do with technology. So while we might provide these services with software and all sorts of automation to do it, there are definitely companies that will provide it with a bunch of people doing it. And so in some ways, we're competing against these kind of legacy, just outsourced service providers. But even that is like pretty uncommon. Really, the main thing we're just competing against is people having to hire and build this infrastructure themselves, right? So we really don't have direct competitors, and we certainly don't have competitors that are doing what we're doing in the sort of technologically enabled way that we do it, which allows us to deliver these sort of much higher accuracy and efficiency than it would be if a bunch of people had to do all this work, for sure. So there aren't really direct competitors. I'm sure, you know, give it time and like more will pop up to the electronic supply chain space. To some degree, sort of renewed and necessary attention that maybe hadn't previously been paid to this area. And so it wouldn't surprise us to see like other companies start to pop up. But I think one of the really exciting things right now is the whole ecosystem of software for hardware or companies building solutions to help accelerate the hardware development lifecycle is a really like fertile area. You know, it's like 15, 20 years behind software engineering from sort of a evolution perspective, from our perspective. And there's all these startups that are starting to pop up that are tackling all different pieces of this puzzle. And I think, you know, much like if you look back at software 20 years ago and there were companies, you had to solve for cloud computing, you had to solve for logging and security, like all these different things, right? These are now all like multi-billion dollar companies that are like household names. I think there's going to be a similar arc in the hardware space where if you look 10 or 20 years from now, the startups that are coming up today are going to be the sort of interconnected ecosystem that has like substantially changed how hardware gets made. And so that's really exciting because we get to actually, for the most part, not compete with people and just go out and be sort of friends with all these different startups to figure out like, hey, you guys are tackling this really important, exciting part of this problem that's totally different, but complementary to what we're working on. Like, how can we team up and collaborate and do integrations and work together to make the overall ecosystem run more effectively?
So let's jump into the future. What makes you the most excited about Cofactor's future?
Yeah. I mean, it really goes to what I was just talking about, which is this sort of ecosystem, right? So my co-founder and I are both like extremely collaborative people by nature. We came out of sort of the design world, which is a very collaborative industry. And I think what's really exciting about the hardware world right now is that there's just so much room for improvement and so much room for collaboration. And as people who build a lot of software, we benefit every day. And, you know, it's a little bit of a broken record, but like we benefit every day from how interconnected those tools are, right? It's not just that there are a bunch of really awesome solutions out there. It's that they all talk to each other and work together in these really sort of compelling, intuitive ways that makes it really comparatively easy to build sophisticated software at a really large scale. And what really excites me about sort of the future of infrastructure and tooling for the hardware industry is that right now almost nothing talks with each other and that there's this opportunity to really to have this sort of interconnectivity. And so, you know, we talk to startups that are building really awesome AI systems for doing engineering work or accelerating the work the engineers do using machine learning and stuff, which is super exciting. And I'm very envious of how smart those people are that they're able to build those products because we are not the ones to build that, right? But on the flip side, you know, we talk to so many people that say, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that Cofactor is tackling the problem you guys are tackling because man, I don't want to do it. Like that just sounds terrible. I know someone has to do it. That's sort of like, sort of not dirty literally, because we run, you know, very, very like clean facilities for electronic components, but sort of like in some ways, the sort of like unpleasant analog work of like building infrastructure and figuring out how you automate all this stuff and building these really complicated interconnected things. a lot of people really are hungry for someone to do it and really don't want to do it themselves. And so it's really exciting for us as the people who are tackling that sort of infrastructure problem to find how often we're talking to people who are doing things that we see as really exciting that are saying, oh my gosh, our solution is going to be so much better because we can connect it to cofactor and not just solve for the sort of engineering problem, but know that the real world implications of that are going to actually be carried out because of cofactor solution. So it's very exciting for us to be in that position of feeling like we've sort of like hit on something that everyone was wishing for and no one seemed to really want to do, and being able to like be the ones doing it is like a really exciting place to be in.
That's awesome. I feel your passion. What about cofactor in general? What is your guys' next step?
Yeah. We're like a little bit less than 2 years old now. So it's definitely like early days. I think as you mentioned at the beginning, we just recently announced a funding round that we actually did back in April. So, but yeah, we've been sort of, I don't like to say stealth mode because, you know, we've had a website. It really hasn't been stealth, but we haven't really been trying to attract new customers. It's been all word of mouth. And we've been really pretty heads down on ensuring that our engineering foundation and our logistics foundation was there. We're the kind of product that you don't get to like move fast and break things. You have to move fast and like not make any mistakes ever, right? And so that requires like a different approach than like maybe a software only startup can take, where we had to make sure that the physical infrastructure was there, that the team training programs was there, that all the software that our customers don't even see, but that powers all the behind the scenes operations was there. And so we've been really focused on doing that, working with a bunch of customers, learning and growing with them. And that's been a super exciting like year and a half now. We're definitely at the phase where we are really confident that what we've been doing is working and that we are in a position to scale really quickly now. And so we're starting to really shift our sales and sort of go to market around that and start building the infrastructure to be able to bring a lot more customers on a lot more quickly. And we're having really, you know, every day exciting conversations with new customers. So far that's all good. And I think next step is just like doing it and doing it more and faster, right? So there'll be lots of things that come along with that, facilities in other places, sort of, you know, geographic expansion, physical expansion, continuing to build a software product, obviously, is going to get more and more sophisticated. But it's overall just going to be kind of a lot of more of the same and better. Long term, there'll be, you know, we'll look at expanding to other kinds of things that are just electronic components, like, but that's all really going to come in response to customer need and requirement. We'll sort of expand organically.
So are you US based currently? Or?
Yeah. So facility wise, totally US based. We allow our customers to source from a global network of suppliers. So we absolutely have strong supplier networks in China and throughout Southeast Asia, and Europe, really, you know, anywhere the electronic components live, we're going to have connections to those suppliers. One of the things our product does really well is manage all the sort of gnarly implications of global tariff schedules and how materials move around the world, how the compliance around that looks. We do tend to focus right now on serving US-based customers. So they may have a global supply chain. They may be sourcing from China. They may be manufacturing in Canada or Mexico or Malaysia or somewhere else other than the US. But typically we're going to focus on customers who like are based in the US at the moment. That certainly won't be true forever. We would expect to expand, and certainly there's demand from other regions. But right now, like, you know, we can only meet so many needs at the same time for sure.
Awesome. Well, it's all very exciting. Sadly, our time's coming to an end. But before we wrap up, if people want to follow cofactor's journey and keep up with you, where should they go?
They can find us on LinkedIn. That's really like the core place that we can be kept tabs on. Or of course, they can go to cofactor.com and, you know, sign up to get our newsletter, that kind of thing. We're always here and love to hear from people.
Yeah, I saw you guys are doing blog posts too now. That's awesome.
Yeah, trying to like share everything we can.
Awesome. Well, Matthew, it's been great talking to you, and I wish you and cofactor all the best. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.